Okay, so I'm going to present some examples of what Anie just went through. Thank you very much, Anie. Try to make it as simple as possible. We used some of the Duke results, and we applied the missing data methods in order to perform sensitivity analysis for unmeasured confounding, uncontrolled selection bias, and measurement error. And we'll show them now. So first, a note on patient empowerment, especially as it differs from what Rosa presented in the previous presentation, which was patient involvement. Patient involvement originated from the patient survey instrument, which was distributed to patients to ask them how they felt that they were involved in care, their own care. The patient empowerment measure was in the questionnaire completed by the quality manager, and it was designed to assess the patient empowerment and the quality management function at the hospital level. So our patients involved is a patient-centered group involved in development of quality criteria or standards, quality committees, quality improvement, and so on. So this is a little bit different from that patient involvement measure that we talked about earlier. But the results are also positive, that we find that quality management systems are related to an increase in patient empowerment. I wish I had some animation here, but before you look at the results, I want to go through the picture over here. So instead of using the kind of triangular pictures, we're going to use something that might even be simpler to understand to illuminate what we've done here. Basically, the bias analysis is a what-if analysis. So we say, what if there is an uncontrolled confounder that is a positive predictor of quality management systems? So it this unmeasured variable increases quality management systems, and it also increases patient empowerment. What is this variable? Maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't. Maybe we could think of an example of one. But we don't even really need to do that. We just need to say, if it did exist, how powerful would it need to be in order to make the conclusions that we find invalid or to make our results null? And so that's kind of a basic idea of a sensitivity analysis. So what we would use first is we would take an assumption about our unknown variable. How strong is the unknown variable related to QMSI? And then how strong is the unknown variable related to patient empowerment? And we put these into our model to create our hypothetical U, which is our unknown variable. We then analyze the data again using this new U value to find an adjusted estimate. So a note on our hypotheses of these relationships. Basically, we would use what we would consider plausible relationships to hypothesize how strong U would be in our model. We looked at the data, the results that we already have, and results that we've seen in the literature to say what kind of U could exist and how strong could that U be in the system. And so we have three levels of U. We have a small U, we have a moderate U, and we have a large U. And the large U was designed to basically push the level, push the boundaries of plausibility. So once you get to the large U, this is almost outside of the realm of plausibility for a variable that could be impacting both quality management systems as well as patient empowerment. So I'll go through the results. The first in blue are the unadjusted results. So we found that with a one-unit increase in QMSI, we find a quite small beta, 0.06 unit increase in the patient empowerment score, which is also a small range score, only 0 to 3. We do have a significant p-value. When we add in a small U confounder and then adjust for it, we don't see much change in the result. When we add in a moderate U confounder, we also don't see much change in the result. However, when we push the realm, kind of push the boundary of plausibility for this U to towards near a large confounder, we start to lose this signal. When we have no longer have a significant p-value, and we've almost wiped out our beta. Okay, so with this first case study, we'll also go through the selection bias as well. So again, with our what-if analysis, we'll define a hypothesis about the relationship between the QMSI and selection or participation in the study. So the idea that hospitals with higher quality management might be more likely to participate in the study. Also, patient empowerment. This could be related to participation. A hospital with higher patient empowerment might be more likely to participate. And then we also used some other variables that we thought might be related to selection as well. And so we put these varying levels of hypothesized inputs, and we find a selection probability. And then, so we see the unadjusted estimate here, again, is 0.062. When we adjust for a small level of selection bias, we are attenuating the result very, very, very slightly. Again, not much change and not much change. So I'll do a roundup on case study one, but really, there is no difference here in these results. And so even with a large push for selection bias, adjusting for it, we don't see any difference. Finally, with measurement error. With measurement error, we would use some inputs regarding the relationship between the true quality management system and the measured quality management system. So in Onyi's diagram, this would be the X and the X star. And QMSI, in particular, may be an imperfect measure of the true nature of the hospital's quality management systems. But how imperfect would that be? And if it were imperfect, how would that imperfection change the results? So as we increase the hypothetical imperfection of this measured versus true QMSI, we see that we actually increase the results. So if there's only a small amount of measurement error or no measurement error, the results stay the same. But if there's perhaps a larger imperfection between the measured QMSI and the true QMSI, then the results that we would see after adjusting for this imperfection would be larger than the ones that we found in the unadjusted. And again, a strong measurement error would make the results even larger. So concluding case study one, with confounding, we found that the results appear to be robust to a small or moderate uncontrolled source of confounding, but not to a potentially implausible source of uncontrolled confounding. We found that selection bias, the possible selection bias at any level did not change the results that were reported. And if there were measurement error present in the QMSI variable, the true relationship between it and many of the outcomes in the Duke study might actually be stronger than reported. So I'll go through two other case studies quickly that might even be a little more interesting. First is going to the patient-level measures, which we take advantage of the multi-level structure of the data and look at, this was presented actually by Rosa, the relationship between QMSI and therapy given in AMI care. And this is, we found that there is, back to the odds ratio, with a 1-unit increase in QMSI, there's about a 20% increase in the chances that someone will get the therapy given that they needed in the AMI care. And so here we introduce some selection bias. And in this example, or framework, selection bias can make a little bit more sense, because it's possible that hospitals with higher quality might participate more, and patients with more of the outcomes that we're looking at might be selected more. So it's a plausible bias. And so when we adjust for a small amount of it, we see just a little bit of increase in the results, but then it sort of levels out. So even though we might have we can hypothesize that the bias is plausible, even when we adjust for a strong force of selection bias, we don't seem to make any major differences in our results. So it seems to indicate that even if the bias were present, the Duke results would be smaller, a little bit smaller compared to the truth, but very robust to this particular source of bias. And then finally, another example of the confounding bias adjustment. And this one is the social capital and QMSI relationship. So we also saw this in Korjula's presentation, or Solvay's presentation. Social capital increases the QMSI score. So the unadjusted estimate is 1.572. And an uncontrolled confounder here would be something that the hospital level, perhaps, that increases both social capital as well as QMSI. And so we modeled a plausible predictor of both of these variables and then adjusted. And we found that with adjustment for a small confounding bias, we have very little change in the results. And if we adjust for a moderate or a strong confounding bias, we start to see an attenuation of the results. But the overall relationship that we found, which is a small to medium relationship between social capital and QMSI, this conclusion would not change, even with adjustment for a potentially implausible source of confounding bias. So to wrap up what we talked about today, like in all observational or non-experimental studies, the Duke findings might be subject to bias from uncontrolled confounding, selective non-response, or measurement error. Our sensitivity analysis, which took 3 case studies and evaluated these types of biases using reasonable inputs, plausible inputs, found that most of the results are robust to small or moderate sources of these biases. Some of the results, especially in the patient outcomes, show a stronger signal with bias adjustment, especially when considering the possibility that the QMSI at the hospital level may be a slightly imperfect measure of quality management systems that are truly within that hospital. So.